Oh, hello, my name is Ania Piotrowska and I'm a doctoral researcher at UCL in London. And today I will present you the Lupix anonymity system, so the system for anonymous communication. And this is a joint work with my great co-authors, Jamie Hayes, George Danesis, and Sebastian Meiser from UCL, and Tariq Elahi from KU Leuven. But before I will start talking about Lupix, I'll make like a small introduction to mixed networks. So what mixed networks are? Mixed networks were introduced by David Chaum to ensure anonymity for users communicating among the network. And the idea was very simple. We have a set of cryptographic relays which are responsible for forwarding the message on the network. And each mixed node, after receiving the packets, is performing some cryptographic decoding, is batching all the received packets, performing some secret shuffle, and then sending to another mixed node. So this allows the users of the network to achieve anonymity, which simply means if we have Alice and Bob, and these are two target users, and the global passive adversary who is observing the whole communication happening in the network, so all the links in the network, he is not able to say whether Alice and Bob are communicating with each other or maybe with other people. But mixed networks, even though it was a very nice idea, they had several challenges. So in order to guarantee anonymity, we would like, as much as we can, packets batched together inside the mixed node. And this requires long delays, because each mixed node has to wait until a fair enough number of packets will arrive before shuffling them and flashing to the next one. So this introduced the high latency, which was unacceptable and make mixed nets unfashionable to use in the real-time communication. Additionally, there was some research made about introducing cover traffic, which may allow to increase the anonymity set inside the mixed nodes, but there was no research done about how to use this cover traffic, what amount, and what types. Additionally, the traditional mixed networks design were not resistant against the active attacks, which simply means that if we have the adversary who is not only able to observe the whole network, but also perform some active actions, we cannot achieve the anonymity. And another flaw was that if you want to use the mixed networks, you have to be online in order to receive the messages. So there was no support for the online storage. So some other designs were proposed, like on your routing designs like Tor, which allowed to achieve much better latency and performance. But the problem with those designs is that they are not resistant to a global passive adversary. And that's why we started thinking about Lupix. Because we put a question, can we make a mixed network design for anonymous communication, which is both secure and has a very good performance? So how the Lupix looks? A quick overview, we have a mixed network, and we decided to compose our mixed node in layers, which simply means that we have several layers, each containing a fixed number of mixed nodes, and each mixed node from one layer is connected with each other mixed node from the next layer. We decided to use this topology because it allows us very easily to scale the topology by adding more mixed nodes in the layers or adding more layers. And in traditional design of mixed networks, the clients who want to send messages were injecting them directly into the mixed network. We in Lupix introduce service providers, and those providers act as the exit, as the entry and exit nodes for the clients who want to use the Lupix infrastructure. But providers have one more important property: they allow for offline storage, which means that if a client is offline, all the incoming messages are stored in his inbox, and when he is online again, he goes to its provider and retrieves the messages. So how sending in Lupix works? The sender, when he wants to send a message, he encapsulates it into a cryptographic packet format, and we use the existing discussed packets, which guarantee the indistinguishability of the messages within the network. He sends this packet to the provider injects the message into the network. The packet traverses a path, which is a randomly composed path of mixed nodes. Then at the end, in the last layer, the mixed node sends the message to the recipient's provider. The recipient's provider stores this message, and the client, when it's ready, he retrieves that. But in Lopix, we use several types of traffic. And obviously, because we want to send messages, we have actual messages, so a real traffic. And this is the end-to-end traffic, so the senders are sending the messages to the recipients are performing the last step of decryption. But we also introduced a very specific types of covered traffic. So the first type is so-called drop covered traffic, which looks very similar to the end-to-end messages, with the only difference that it's dropped by the provider at the other end of the network. So it simply means that when the sender wants to send a drop message, he packs it into the packet format, he injects it into the network, and sends to a randomly selected provider. And this provider, after receiving this packet, he sees a special flag which tells drop me, and he drops the message. Another type of covered traffic which we introduce are the client's loop messages. So a loop message is the message which starts and originates in the same person. So the client is creating, again, a dummy message, encapsulates into the packet, injects this packet into the network, the message traverses a sequence of randomly selected mixed nodes, and ends up in the sender's provider. And the provider, again, stores it in the client's inbox, and the client, when he is online, retrieves those messages. And those loop messages have two important properties. So the first thing is that we generate two-sided covered traffic, which means we generate both the outgoing covered traffic, so the one which the sender is sending, but also the incoming covered traffic. So if the adversary will be observing the messages injected by the client into the network, he cannot tell whether those messages are the exact communicating messages or maybe these are loop messages. Another cool thing about loops is that they allow to detect the N-1 attack. And the N-1 attack assumes that the adversary is blocking all except one target message. And because we use loops, if the adversary will block them, the client realizes that he is under attack. And there is a third type of covered traffic, which are loops but generated by the mixed nodes. So this was already studied before, but it was never used in a mixed network system. So the mixed nodes are generating loop messages, which they inject into the network. The messages are traversing in the same manner as any other message would traverse the network and come back to the mixed nodes. And again, we not only generate the outgoing and incoming covered traffic, but we also allow to detect the N-1 attacks if the adversary wants to perform this attack on the mixed node. So we know what type of traffic we have in Lopix, but now how we inject this traffic into the network. And in Lopix, we guarantee that the traffic generated by the client is modeled as a Poisson process. So we distinguish three independent streams of Poisson traffic. The first one is the real payload, so real messages which we would like to send. And one important thing is that in case the client doesn't want to send any real message, we substitute this message with a drop cover message. The other type of messages, the loops, are sent following another Poisson process, and the drop cover messages follow the third Poisson process. But the nice property of Poisson process is that the aggregation of several Poisson processes is also a Poisson process. This means that if we'll put the adversary between the client and the provider, the adversary only sees the outgoing traffic modeled as a Poisson process, but he's not able to tell how many of those messages are real messages or fake messages. And this allows us to guarantee the sender unobservability. So the adversary is not able to tell whether the client is performing any real action and is trying to communicate with anyone or no. Similarly, on the other end of the network, when the client wants to retrieve messages from the provider who is storing them in the inbox, the client, when he is online, polls the provider for all the messages in the inbox. But we guarantee that the provider always sends only a fixed number of messages to the client. And imagine now that in the client's inbox, there are not enough messages as this fixed number would suggest. So what the provider is doing, he is generating the missing number of dummy messages, is sending both the actual messages which should be forwarded to the client, plus some dummy messages. So every single time when the adversary, again, observes the connection between the client and his provider, he sees the same number of messages retrieved by the client from the provider. And this allows to hide the fact whether the client received any real messages or not. So we know how the communication between client and provider works. But now, how we mix packets in the network. And for the mixing strategy, we decided to use the Poisson mix. The Poisson mix is a simpler version of the exponential mix node, which was already introduced in the stop-and-go mixes, but was never applied in the mixed network system. And we also perform a different analysis of the properties. So how it works? When the mix node receives packets, he decodes each packet, and then he delays this packet by a predetermined exponential delay. The delays are selected by the sender each time when he is encapsulating the message into the packet. So he generates a random delay from the exponential distribution for each hop of the message in the path. And this exponential distribution has several very nice properties. So the first observation which we did is that the rate of incoming traffic to the mix node is modeled by a Poisson process. And the delay is exponential. This means that we can model our Poisson mix as a pool mix. It simply means that every message coming to the mix node adds up to a new pool. And this comes from the memoryless property of the exponential distribution. So what this property means? Very simply, if you imagine that you're playing on a lottery and you're losing all the time, and you always keep telling yourself, I've lost already 1,000 times, next time for sure I will win. I'll have to disappoint you, because the fact that you lost several times does make you closer to win. And the same is with the mix node. The time at which the messages arrive for this particular pool does not determine when they will leave the pool. So from the perspective of the adversary, the messages within the same pool are indistinguishable. And another nice property is that we do not have to introduce the synchronized rounds using the exponential delay. So taking together the delay, the cover traffic, we investigated several security properties. And we investigated them facing a very strong adversary. So we divide the adversary into three types. We have the global passive adversary. We have the corrupted mixes, so mixes who are keen to share their internal state with the adversary. And we also consider the corrupt provider, so the malicious provider who is, again, revealing the internal state to the adversary. So the first and most important property which we discussed was the sender-recipient third-party unobservability. So it simply means that if we have two target senders and two target recipients, the adversary is not able to tell who is communicating with whom. And this property is guaranteed for all possible adversarial models. So the global passive adversary who is observing the network is not able to tell whether those two senders and those two recipients are communicating and in which way. Additionally, if the adversary gains some information from the malicious mix nodes, this information does not leak any significant information for the adversary, so he's still not able to connect the senders with recipients. And similarly, the provider. Even if the providers of the target senders and recipients are malicious, they are not able to tell whether the particular clients are communicating. The next property is the sender unobservability. So this is the thing which I've mentioned while I was discussing how we inject the messages into the network. Because each time when we don't have a real message, we send a drop message, we guarantee that neither the observing adversary or the provider of the client is not able to tell whether this client is taking any real action. And from this property, we also achieve the sender anonymity. And the first three security properties hold for all the threat models which we decided to analyze. With the receiver unobservability, so we want to tell whether the recipient is receiving any messages from the network, so if anyone is trying to communicate with him. We guarantee those properties in the presence of a global passive adversary and corrupted mixes, but we do not guarantee them if the recipient's provider is malicious. And this is because obviously the provider is putting the messages into the client's inbox, so he can tell whether any messages arrived. However, what is worth to notice is that the provider, when he's putting the messages into client's inbox, he cannot tell whether this message is a real message or the loop message, because the packet format does not reveal this information. The provider doesn't have any additional information. So still, he has some amount of uncertainty here. So we introduced this specific cover traffic and the latency in order to achieve anonymity. And we measured how those three parameters depend on each other. So in this graph, we are showing a changing rate of incoming traffic and a changing delay, and we compute the entropy. The entropy is the information of uncertainty, or in other words, more simpler ones, is how many questions you have to ask about a particular event to gain the correct answer. So what we observed is that when there are more messages in the network, the entropy grows. So your measurement of uncertainty grows. Of course, it's pretty obvious because you have more messages inside the mix nodes. If you will increase the delays, the entropy also grows because the mix nodes are batching the messages for a longer time, so there are more messages meeting together. But what we also observe is that when the rate of covert traffic or of any traffic happening in the network grows, we can tune down the delay and still have a very good entropy. But when the amount of traffic in the network drops, we can increase the delay to make sure that more messages are batched together. So depending on the application in which we want to use Loopix, we're very flexible and we can tune down and up the cover traffic and the delay to achieve a particular rate of traffic and the delay which will be applied in the mix nodes. So we also deployed Loopix on Amazon to measure the performance, like bandwidth and the latency. So the first thing which we measured is the bandwidth, and we deployed 500 clients, 6 mix nodes, and 2 providers. And we measured the performance only for 500 clients because each client in our deployment was an independent process. So we didn't use the trick which is used in other papers to measure just for a very small number of users and then extrapolate, but we actually measured how the bandwidth will look like having real clients. And we started these measurements from a very simple setup. So each client was sending a real message, three messages every minute, one loop message every minute, one drop message every minute, and the mix node additionally was sending one loop message every minute. And we set up a very little delay because we wanted to inject as much traffic into the network as we can. And for each point in the plot, we're increasing each stream by 2 additional messages per minute. And one observation which is important in this graph is that if we will tune down the amount of cover traffic, the blue line will start getting closer and closer to the green line. So the blue line is the overall bandwidth, and the green line is a good put. So these are real messages which the clients are sending among each other. The next thing which we measured was the latency overhead. So before applying any delay for the messages, we decided to see what latency overhead we'll have because each mix node is performing a public key operation, and we're sending a lot of messages. So what we did, we measured how the latency overhead changes for a different number of users. We started from 50 users, and we ended up with 500 users. And we observed that the latency overhead for 500 users is just 1.5 milliseconds. So this tells us how how much the operations with the mixed nodes for a particular amount of traffic will cost us in terms of latency. And then we started adding the delay, because this is what is interesting in Loopix. And we measured the end-to-end latency. So because each mixed node is applying an exponential delay, the sum of exponential delays is a gamma distribution. So we can see that nicely the end-to-end latency can be fit in by the gamma distribution. And we assume that the clients, each client is sending 180 messages per minute, and the mixed nodes are sending 60 loops per minute. And the average delay per hop, which we decided to take, was 0.5 a second. So we observed that for this amount of traffic, the most common end-to-end latency is around 1.5 a second. So it shows us that having a particular amount of traffic and particular delays, we can very easily determine what will be the average end-to-end latency which Loopix will be using depending what delays we'll be applying. So the key takeaways about Loopix. So Loopix is the first design based on mixed networks which allow to achieve very strong security properties both against passive and active adversaries and malicious entities in the network, but at the same time can guarantee a very nice performance. So we can decide how much latency we want to have in our system. And one of the most important security properties is that we have the unlinkability of the senders and recipients. We can detect the active attacks, and we guarantee the unobservability for the clients, both as senders and recipients. Additionally, we measured what is the balance trade-off between the latency and the amount of covered traffic which we'll be injecting into the network. And thanks to using the providers, we also support the offline storage. Okay, so if anyone would be interested, the implementation of Loopix is available on the public repo. And I'm happy to take any questions if you have.
Hey, thanks for your talk. So the two red X's you had where the provider was malicious, how much of that could be ameliorated by doing something like pinch and gate at the end, where the recipient retrieves their data from the provider in a private manner, so the provider doesn't know what the recipient is
so getting. You can try to do this, because obviously the provider, multiple clients are assigned to a particular provider, so you can try to use like a private information retriever or something like that, but this will be pretty costly. So it depends what is more important for you, whether you're satisfied with the fact that the provider of the recipient might be corrupted, or whether you really care about the security and hiding the fact that anyone is retrieving any messages.
I'm not that tall. Can you go to the throughput slide?
Yeah. This one.
Okay. So users are being pretty active in this setting.
Yeah.
And of course, one of the big problems with like email mixes is really just there aren't enough people using them, and they're not using sending as much traffic as we'd like. So did you think about, well, you know, do you have a basis to think that users are going to be pretty active in this setting?
So in this particular measurement, we really wanted to inject a lot of messages to see how much we can handle. But in case you want to apply Loopix for the emails, the thing which I said, that you can tune up and down the cover traffic. If you know that you have a smaller number of users, they can increase the amount of cover traffic which they generate, to make sure that enough traffic is inside the network. So you can easily use Loopix in emails, but you can also use it in the instant messaging when you know that you will have a lot of messages happening, and then you will tune down the latency. So Loopix can be applied in both scenarios. We didn't measure on any like real-life data for emails or instant messaging how much of covered traffic you will need. This is like an open question on which we are working. But it is possible to apply Lupix in emails due to the fact that you can control the amount of covered traffic which you want to have.
Right. I mean, you could have a lot of low volume users, and then they all have to send them.
Yeah.
The throughput rate goes down, right,
yeah,
relative to.
So in this system, the senders and recipients are all participating in the system, whereas in the Tor world, the senders know that they're doing it and the receivers are CNN or indie media, mm-hmm, or something. Have you thought about how to smash this design into the Tor world where, I mean, do you have a provider at the end that goes out and fetches the web page and puts it back into the system? What does that do to the security? Have you thought about that at all?
Once again, because I'm not sure if I know what you mean.
Let's imagine we want to use this system for web browsing on,
yeah,
the whole internet. So it's not that the recipients are participating in the system.
Mm-hmm.
The recipients don't even know what's going on. Their,
yeah,
web server's somewhere.
Yeah.
So I could imagine a design where there's some recipient that knows about this,
mm-hmm,
and proxies for the entire internet for you, but then it would be centralized. Is that a very different design than this? Have you thought about that?
No, we've been not thinking about,
okay,
this, but
great,
we can discuss it after that. So.
Storage is really cool, and it seems to me it also makes it possible to make trivial denial of service and partitioning attacks. I assume you've kind of poked at that. What does, when you, by offering some service with storage, how do I deal with those problems?
Yeah, so obviously the providers, it depends how you would like to perform the denial of service attack. If you are concerned about the drop cover traffic, you don't have to be, because the messages are dropped by the provider, so they do not end up in the storage. And any messages which end up in the storage are either real messages or the loop messages. So again, this loop cover traffic, you don't have to be concerned about that, because it's the client generating his own loop, so he's controlling how much messages. If any other person would like to perform the denial of service attack with real messages, we did not study this. We left it as an open question because, yeah, we just didn't think about that so far.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Have you thought a little bit about who you anticipate as the sort of early adopters of Lupix? I mean, are you thinking research groups? Are you thinking like somebody like Rise Up? I mean, what it, for mail or for what are your thoughts on that?
So Lupix as a, like, I'm involved in a Panoramix project, the European project for building mixed networks. And the mixed network which we are building is, the design is based on the Lupix design. So we want to use the K9 mail to start using this mixed network. So this is going to be like the first group of people using that.
In one of your slides, you had a per hop latency of half a second. So you said end-to-end latency of 1.5 seconds. That means every path is three hops?
Yeah,
some of
like
them are?
In this measurement particular, we took a path of three hops.
Is that the optimal number of hops? What are the trade-offs?
So we decided to take like a traditional assumption with three hops. But of course, if you want, you can scale the network and have more hops by adding more layers. It depends what, like, how powerful your network you want to be, but we started just from three hops.
All right, let's go ahead and thank the speaker again, please.